السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وأفوض أمري إلى الله، إن الله بصير بالعباد. صدق الله العظيم، وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: عجبا لأمر المؤمن، إن أمره كله له خير، وليس ذلك لأحد إلا لمؤمن. إن أصابته ضراء صبر فكان خيرا له، وإن أصابته سراء شكر فكان خيرا له، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Most respected elders and brothers, our mothers and sisters who are present, and those who are listening over streaming. Tonight, in the little time that we have, a few minutes of advices which are related to our spiritual development. These programs that we have, the nature of these programs are not necessarily for the increase of one's knowledge. We also, there is a place and there is a time for that as well, and it is also important for us to increase our knowledge, especially our knowledge of deen. But these programs that we have normally on a Thursday night, the theme of these programs is more for our spiritual development. Just as we keep our physical body healthy, this body of ours, it is an amanat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is like a vehicle. A person has a vehicle, and he or she makes a tremendous effort, and there is a period of savings that takes place until a person acquires this vehicle. Sometimes the person, he strikes a very good deal. He manages to get the vehicle. He says, I've got this vehicle. It was a bargain. And perhaps he purchased the vehicle, or she purchased the vehicle at a very low rate. And there were a number of things that had to be resolved in the vehicle. So now the person slowly but surely starts repairing this, repairing that, doing this, sorting that out, sorting this out. Until eventually the person now is satisfied, he or she is satisfied, that now I've got this vehicle, it is roadworthy. Not only is it roadworthy, but it is now in an optimum condition. And I feel satisfied that if I sit in this vehicle, then I'll reach my destination. Otherwise, many times a person sits in some vehicles and he tries to remember every wazifa that he can and make dua that he reaches his destination. Every time he hears some noise in the car, and he doesn't know what broke and what didn't break. So another person is always uneasy. He's always under stress. Anytime something can go, it's stuck on the side of the road. Yeah. It's not a nice feeling. But now when the person now gets his vehicle to this optimum condition, and now he says, right, chalo, let's relax now. After 10,000 kilometers, somebody tells him, Kebai, you know, why don't you send this vehicle for a service? Why don't you check the oil and water? Why don't you check the tire pressure? Why don't you check the condition of the tires, etc.? Now he says, nah, that time, I spent that time. I don't have time for all of these things now. And he continues. We all know that inevitably what's going to happen is that if he doesn't maintain that vehicle, and that maintenance of the vehicle, that maintenance of the home, the maintenance of anything in this world, it's ongoing. It's not once off. A person purchases a home and then he says, right, I'm doing up the home and that's it. For the next 20 years, I'm not touching anything. I'm not painting. I'm not doing anything. Just carrying on. So we'll say, bhai, maintenance is an ongoing thing. You have to carry on for the rest of your life. So long as you're living in this world, Everything in this world has to be maintained. Everything has to be maintained. It is in the year after in Jannah that nothing needs to be maintained. Everything not only maintains itself, there's enhancement. There's enhancement in Jannah. Just on this point it is mentioned that the people of Jannah, when a person emerges from his home in Jannah and he goes out to the marketplace, when he returns home, then his beauty would have intensified. He becomes more handsome to such an extent that the wife would not even recognize him. And vice versa, when he looks at his wife, he won't recognize her because her beauty has intensified. And in this world we find what happens, that the person is newly wed, you know, they're sitting on the moon having honey, you know, that's why they call it honeymoon. So now, and after 40 years of marriage, now the side of the bed, they got a deep heat and a zambak. And now the teeth are falling out and the back is bent. So that's what happens. One elderly old man was walking, he's walking with a walking stick. So he's walking. So one youngster found an opportunity to mock him. So he said, Mota, this bow, referring to his back, this bow, how much you bought it for? So he said, son, when you reach my age, you'll get it for free. You'll get it for free. Another elderly person, he went to the doctor, quite old. So he's complaining to the doctor about the earring. So doc said, Baji, don't worry, this is old age. So he said, Doctor Saab, there's a problem with my eyes. The doctor said, Baji, don't worry. It's your age now, old now. So then he started complaining about some pain in the back, whatever it was. Again, the doctor said, this also comes with age now. So that old man gave the doctor one tight slap. So the doctor said, for what that is? He said, no, Doctor Saab, it's old age. So now in this world you find that as a person gets older, then there is a deficiency that takes place. A person now, his health goes down. He doesn't have the strength that he had before, that she had before. And the person now has to work harder to maintain one's health, etc. However, in Jannah it's the complete opposite. So coming back to what we were saying, the example that we were giving, then now the person has this vehicle, the person has this home, he has to continuously maintain it. It is ongoing. And he has to keep that vehicle in good condition. Now this goes, again send it there, send it for the service, then that goes, then the suspension, then something else. It's an ongoing thing. And as he continues, and every time something breaks, he repairs it, the vehicle remains in good condition. Now just as we understand how important it is to look after our vehicle, in the same way, this body which Allah Ta'ala has given us, this physical body, this body also is a vehicle. And just as we maintain our vehicle and our home, it is also important, Sharia teaches us that we have to also maintain our health. Maintain our health in all fronts. One is the physical part of our health. That a person makes sure that he eats the correct food. The person abstains from drugs. He abstains from intoxicants. He abstains from smoking. The person, you know, includes and incorporates in his daily lifestyle some level of activity so that the body is kept in optimum condition. And not only the physical body, but the mental health. Just yesterday I got a phone call from an individual who was mentioning that now the youngster, university, whatever it was, now he's becoming suicidal. Because of the stresses and the pressure, now he wants to take his life, he wants to commit suicide, and eventually they have to be hospitalized, and doesn't want to see anyone, doesn't want to speak to anyone. So now this is now when a person now doesn't deal with his mental health, that there's some issue in the person's life, there's some challenge, there's some worry or frustration that a person has got, some concern, and he doesn't deal with it, she doesn't deal with it. And as a result, it builds up, until eventually the person's emotional well-being is affected, his mental well-being is being affected. So a person has to look after the physical health. He has to keep his physical being in optimum condition. He has to keep his mental health or her mental health in good condition. The person has to keep one's emotional self in good condition, because this is an amanat. It is a vehicle which Allah Ta'ala has given us. And what is the purpose of this body and this vehicle? That we have to travel in this world until finally we'll reach our qabr. This vehicle will take us from point A to point B, and from our qabr we will then move in another vehicle. Allah Ta'ala will now make it such that we travel in a different way until finally we reach our final destination. Let that be, may Allah make it be Jannah. So a person has to now make sure that this vehicle is also kept in optimum condition so that he or she can reach their destination with ease and with comfort. Otherwise a person can leave his vehicle, not maintain it. And what will happen? Some people, you see, they live in their homes, the door is falling down, and there's an infestation of rats and mice and cockroaches, and the roof is collapsing. And the person carries on. He carries on living in that condition. And then we know all the complications that come because of that now. And there's a rat infestation. The neighbors start complaining. And there's all kinds of diseases and ill health. And as a result of not maintaining one's home, in the same way the vehicle. The person didn't look after the vehicle. Allah protect. It can happen that even when you look after the vehicle and it breaks down in a very dangerous area and the person is mugged or is robbed, now the person then regrets that, how I wish I kept this vehicle. I knew that this was a problem here. I knew there was an issue with this tire, that this tire was about to explode. And I could already see the steel in the tire. I could already see it. I knew it was about to go, and I carried on, and as a result we capsized the vehicle and somebody broke their hand. Now, if only I repaired it. So some people carry on, they just leave it as is. But there's always regret and remorse after that. So a person, if he does not look after his body, he'll carry on, he'll reach his destination. But there will always be some sort of regret and remorse that, how I should have rather just looked after my emotional well-being. I should have dealt with my, because on this point of emotional well-being, if a person, for example, is going through some frustration, there's some issue either in his workplace or in his personal life or her personal life which is resulting in some level of frustration, and now the person is always on edge. So what happens when the person is always on edge? I was giving an example to this particular individual that if you have a cup and it is filled with water, you just take one drop of water and place it on, what happens? Everything starts overflowing. It just takes one simple little thing in your workplace. Now you're already so frustrated because of all these challenges that you are facing, and you haven't dealt with it. You haven't spoken to someone. You haven't sought advice and counsel. And now it's right till the top. And it's just one simple little thing that takes place in your workplace, which outwardly people will say, but well, there was nothing really much to it. Why was this? Why did this person erupt and explode to this extent? But it's because you have not dealt with your emotions. You have not dealt with your mental well-being. You haven't looked after your mental well-being. And now there's an explosion. And Allah protects. Sometimes the person now wants to even take his or her life. So that is why it's so important for us to look after our physical health. This vehicle that Allah has given us. This is a teaching of Sharia. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned, Al-mu'minul qawi khayrun wa ahabbu ilallahi min al-mu'minil da'if. That the believer who is strong physically, and physically strong doesn't only mean that he's got good muscles and he can pick up, that his emotional well-being is strong, his mental well-being is strong. Collectively, this individual is a strong, firm individual. He has looked after his health, he's in good condition. He is better and more beloved in the eye of Allah than that believer who is weak. Both of them have got goodness, both of them have got iman at the end of the day. However, in the eye of Allah, this one is more beloved because he will become so much more productive because of his being in a better condition. That vehicle that is in good condition becomes so much more reliable and dependent than that vehicle which is now always breaking down. So nevertheless, I didn't mean to speak so long on this point, but Allah make it beneficial for all of us. As we said, this is here for our islah and our well-being and our benefit. So similarly, we also have a spiritual self. We have a spiritual self which we also have to maintain. A person, if he does not look after his or her spirituality, then as a result of this, the person, you will find that there will be no inclination towards the performance of salah. the person will now develop within the heart all kinds of maladies and diseases. If he does not deal with these spiritual maladies and he is not concerned about his islah or the purification of his inner self, then there again you'll find that the person now, as a result of the spiritual maladies, there's so many challenges and issues that will arise therefrom. So today I wanted to speak about this one particular topic, and it is what we term as Radha bil Qada and Tafweez, meaning that a person, he or she, resigns their will to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We resign our will to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now what does this mean? That a believer believes in taqdeer. That whatever happens in this world, whether it's good or bad, وَالْقَدْرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ مِنَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, that whatever good or bad happens in this world, ultimately it comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the being who is controlling the affairs of this world. There is not a leaf that drops from a tree. Nothing happens in this world without the hukam and the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a believer believes that everything happens with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, a believer who believes and has a firm conviction that everything happens with the will of Allah ta'ala, it becomes very easy for he or she to resign their will to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was one buzurg. He used to say that this world is running according to my desire. This world is running according to my desire. So people went to the muftis and said, Mufti Sahab, this sheikh is saying these kind of things. So the mufti started issuing fatwa of kufr. Even those days they had this. So he started issuing the fatwa of kufr, takfir, quickly calling a person a kafir. You must be very, very careful. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and Allah ta'ala says in the Quran in Majid, بِئْسَ الْإِسْمُ الْفُسُوقُ بَعْدَ الْإِيمَانِ, that it is a very inappropriate, how evil it is for a person to be called fasiq after when the person has got iman. You call the person fasiq and is kafir and is fajir and is all these kind of names. So we should be very cautious. In one hadith of Bukhari Sharif, Nabi Kareem Sahasim said that if somebody is called a kafir, then one of the two individuals will definitely be a kafir. Either the person who made the statement and claimed that that individual was a kafir, he will be in the eye of Allah a kafir, or in fact that person who is being called a kafir will turn out to be a kafir. So the person who is saying that individual is a kafir, and there is a possibility that the person who is being called a kafir is not really a kafir, he's a believer in the eye of Allah Ta'ala, then there is a great possibility that your iman can be snatched away. May Allah protect us. That is why if you read the kitabs of fiqh and you read the fatawa of our akabirin, you'll find that when people ask them the question that is this person a kafir, you will always find our akabirin and our muftis of the past, they were very, very cautious. They would say that this action is an action which is an action of disbelief. But they would never say that the person is a disbeliever. They were so cautious. Today we find that people are standing with a machine gun, waiting to fire the bullets and try and dispatch as many people to the fire of Jahannam as they possibly can. You know, as if Allah Ta'ala has given them, as if Allah Ta'ala has assigned them with the task of filling Jahannam. That you, Ummati, you go on my behalf and try and fill up Jahannam as much as you can. Allahu Akbar. In fact, we find that many of our kabirin, Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Rahmatullah Ali in particular, he would find an excuse to say that the person is still a mu'min. He said, no, but he still did this year, so iska alamat hai ke wo mu'min hai. And this is a sign that he is a believer. So they would find an excuse to keep the person and send the person to Jannah. Today we're waiting to send people to the fire of Jahannam. May Allah protect us. But sometimes we don't know. Sometimes it could be because of a person has his own insecurities, or the person has got some kind of pride, or the person wants to defame the name of the next person because he wants name and fame. Today, unfortunately, this has become a disease of the time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. So, coming back to what we were saying. So there was one particular mufti who said that, no, let's find out what he means. Let us find out what exactly he means. Verify before we amplify. Verify before we amplify. Sometimes certain things are said in a certain context. And we just hear that. Today you find it's the era of cut and paste. That the person will now cut one statement that was said and then he posts it and he pastes it on all the groups. In the meantime, the person said it in a certain context and that's not actually what he meant. But now we engineer it such to put forward our own, to try and drive our own agendas. So anyway, this mufti said, let's ask what he means. He said, what do you mean by the statement that this world is running according to your desire? He said, no, you see, Allah Ta'ala is the one who runs this world. And this world runs in accordance to the desire of Allah Ta'ala. But I have submitted my desire to the desire of my Allah. And that is why I'm saying that this world is running according to my desire, because my desire has been submitted. I have submitted my desire to the desire of Allah Ta'ala. That is why I'm saying this world is running according to my desire. So now when we understand it in that context, now we can see that that wasn't a statement of kufr at all. In fact, that was a statement of a high level of iman that the person had completely, ulama ikram, explained that ikhlas is a very high, it's a very sublime quality to develop within your heart. Ikhlas means that whatever action you do it solely and only for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala without any ulterior motive. You build a masjid. You are not concerned whether that family comes to know, whether this one comes to know, whether that one comes to know. In fact, you give that money in such a way that your left hand does not even know what your right hand gave. That you too forgot it. That you did it only for Allah. You say, Ya Allah, on the day of Qiyamah, I want to see the reward of this. On the day of Qiyamah, I want to see the reward of this. It's like the person, he says, right, I'm depositing this money in my account in Dubai. When I go to Dubai, I want to see it. But he doesn't want to see it here. He's not going to go to one of the local banks to go and see where the money is. When he goes to Dubai, he's going to now go into that account and he's waiting to see it there. So he's not waiting to see it here at all. So the person who has got ikhlas, whatever action he does, whether he gives some khidmat of deen, does some good deed, gives a talk, he's doing it because he wants to see the reward in the akhirah, in ajriya illa ala Allah. My reward is only with Allah. He's deposited in the bank of the akhirah. There's no ulterior motive that I hope he's listening. Yeah? I hope this person is here. I hope they can see what a good speaker I am. I hope they can see how generous I am. You mentioned my name that I'm also one of the donors. Did you mention? We'll contribute to your institute, but just put our name there. If you can put our name there. So now it's clear that we're not saying that sometimes it's necessary that the person needs to advertise. But now, especially when it's deen, now the person, for example, gave a vehicle to the madrasa. So now he says, but the vehicle, make sure you put on there, you know, the name of my company. Must be there, proudly sponsored by. So definitely you get your advertisement. Everybody will come to know how generous you are. But remember, in the akhirah, you will get nothing. Absolutely nothing. Because Allah Ta'ala, when it comes to ibadat, then Allah does not share with anyone. That if you do that good deed, you do it only for Allah, not for any ulterior motive. That if you sponsored that vehicle so that you can advertise your company, Allah will never accept that. Because you're sharing, you're making shirk. You are ascribing a partner in that ibadah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah will never accept any action that is done with that reason. So ikhlas. But ulama ikram explained that there is a sifat, there is a quality which is above ikhlas. And what is that quality? Radha bil qada, that a person resigns his or her will to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even higher than ikhlas. So this is such a great quality to have. One murid spent many years in the company of Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah ali. Many years. And now he came to the end of his time after a period of years in the sohbat of the Sheikh. Today the person goes 5 days and spends in his sheikh. He comes out and is waiting for khilafat. Where's the khilafat, Hazrat? And one person came to Moinus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah. Say, Hazrat, I want to bat with you. I want to bat with you. So what he meant, I want to become bayat with you. Another person came to the sheikh and said, Hazrat, you know, make me your murid. So the Hazrat said, no, I don't just accept murids like that. He said, all right, if you don't make me, he said, make me your murid. He said, no. He said, make me your khalifa. Make me your khalifa. So today the person spends 2-3 hours, goes for 1-2 majlises, now he's waiting for the khilafah to come. When the sheikh is going to give him khilafah. Here they spent years in the company of the sheikh. After many years, when he was departing, Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi alayhi gave him some advice. He said that do not claim divinity, uluhiyat. Do not claim uluhiyat and do not claim nubuwat. So the murid was shocked. See, Hazrat, but after so many years in your company, do you think I'm going to claim to be Allah? Uluhiyat means to claim divinity, to claim that you are Allah. He said, I will not claim that I'm Allah, and I will never claim that I'm the Nabi of Allah. So we'll just stick on this point of nubuwah, of uluhiyah. So he says, what I mean is that if you wish that this world runs according to your desire, and you get upset when in this world things don't happen according to your desire, then you are claiming uluhiyat. You are claiming uluhiyat. That you know this world is supposed to run the way I want it to run. Whereas a person who has radha bil qada, he will say to himself that this world runs according to the hukam of my Allah. I am merely a servant of Allah. I cannot run the world the way I want it to run. The world runs in the manner in which Allah wants it to run. And that's resigning one's will to the will of Allah Ta'ala. On this is a very important point, just to slot in, and we'll terminate on that. And that is, we have to balance this. A believer always has moderation. There's no extremism in Islam. There is no place for extremism in Islam. Allah says, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. You are a ummah of moderation. There's always moderation in this ummah of Rasulullah says. No extremism. Whenever there'll be extremism, it always spoils it. It'll never, extremism cannot be sustained. Extremism cannot be sustained. Always adopt a path of moderation. Now if a person says, I'm resigning my will to the will of Allah Ta'ala, so I'm not going to even work, you know, I'm not going to do anything. Everything happens with the will of Allah Ta'ala. Choro bhai, just sit in the masjid, make zikrullah. That woman just sits and the whole day reads Quran Sharif and makes zikrullah and makes dua, sits with the musalla with the burqa. So now we will say that that's extremism. Islam teaches us a sifa called tadbir. Tadbir means we must adopt the means, we must make some effort. And this we learn from the life of Rasulullah SAW, who resigned his will to Allah Ta'ala's will, yet he made effort. In the battle of Uhud, what did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam? He instructed Abdullah bin Jubair radiallahu anhu. He said, there is a possibility that the enemy will launch an attack from behind. I want you, with 40 archers, you station here. You will not move from here. There is a possibility the enemy could potentially attack us. There was no definite. It wasn't definite. There was a possibility. But Rasulullah SAW looked at the potential threat. He identified a possible problem in the future. And he took necessary steps to try and mitigate that risk. He tried to mitigate that risk. And he stationed Abdullah bin Jubair radiallahu anhu. We know what happened thereafter. There was some ikhtilaf, a difference of opinion that took place. And they moved from there. Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu was not a Muslim at that time. Saw the weakness and launched the attack. Exactly what Rasulullah SAW was concerned about, it happened. But the fact is that Nabi Kareem SAW made a plan and adopted a strategy. Of course, thereafter Nabi Kareem SAW resigned. That I did what I was supposed to do. Allah Ta'ala wanted that this should happen. Of course, there were many lessons that we learned from that. But we resign our will to the will of Allah thereafter. Yusuf ala Nabina alayhi salatu wassalam. We know the incident when the king saw the dream. in which he saw there were seven fat cows and seven lean cows and seven and the 7 ears of corn. We know the detail. We don't have time to go in the detail. Yusuf alayhi salam then advised that the grain that was harvested during that year must be kept in the ear of the corn. It should be preserved. It was a form of preservation. He didn't say that, chalo, just make two rakat salah and make dua, Allah will look after you. He used some strategy, used some means that let us now make an effort to preserve it. And thereafter when he went to the king, he said, ij'alni ala khazainil ard, that I want you to appoint me as the finance minister. So he used the strategy, he made tadbir to look after the grain of that entire nation, because he knew that if some corrupt person is appointed to look after the grain, it may lead to starvation. People will lose their lives. Therefore, I have to take the bull by the horns and I have to look after this. And Yusuf alayhi salam then saw to the grain and distributed it in a fair manner and looked after it. So Sharia teaches us the quality of tadbir, that adopt the means. And after you've adopted the means, then you resign your will to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you don't adopt the means, the person doesn't lock his car, the person doesn't put the guard outside the business, and the person doesn't do all of those things, he doesn't maintain the car, and then he gets stuck and says, no, bas, Mawli sahab taught us, rada bil qada, we must resign our will to Allah's will, was meant to happen. We'll say that is not the correct approach. We'll say that is your negligence. That is your negligence. That you were supposed to have adopted the means. You were supposed to have made sure that all these loose ends were tied. These documents were signed. The verbal agreements were reduced to writing, so that everybody could see in black and white that this was what was agreed to. But now these loose ends were left. They were not tied down. Now as a result, this is what is happening. The vehicle was not maintained. As a result, this is what is happening. The home was not maintained. As a result, the entire wall collapsed in the process. So we'll say that is negligence on the part of the individual. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us and bless us with this beautiful quality of rada bil qada and resigning our will to the will of Allah ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala make us of those who maintains our physical bodies, our emotional well-being, our physical and mental well-being, and especially our spiritual well-being. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين ومك little bit of zikrullah in 10 minutes inshallah. Recite Durood Sharif.
لا إله إلا الله 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 محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الله جل جلاله وتعالى شأنه الله 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 الله
لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله. اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. O Kareem, Rahim, most forgiving, loving, caring Allah, Ya Allah, forgive each and every one of us, Ya Allah. Accept, Ya Allah, our gathering here tonight, Ya Allah. Let it be a means of our Islah, our spirituality, our reformation, Ya Allah. O Allah, purify our hearts, Abi Musaffa, Mujalla, Muzakka, Dil'ata, Farma. O Allah, grant us the tawfiq and the ability and make it easy for us to look after, Ya Allah. All the assets and bounties that you have granted us, Ya Allah, our physical well-being, Ya Allah, our mental well-being, Ya Allah, our emotional well-being, Ya Allah, and most importantly, our spiritual well-being, Ya Allah. Oh, grant us the tawfiq, Ya Allah, to look after, Ya Allah, every single bounty and maintain every single bounty that you have granted us, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, the maintenance of your bounties, of any bounty, is a sign of appreciation of that bounty, Ya Allah. If a person looks after his business, it's a sign that he appreciates his business. If a person looks after his vehicle, or a woman looks after her kitchen, Ya Allah, it's a sign that she or he appreciates that bounty that they have been blessed with, Ya Allah. Allah, grant us the tawfiq, Ya Allah, to appreciate every single ni'mah and bounty that you have granted us, Ya Allah. Allah, make us yours and become ours, Ya Allah. Allah, bless us with knowledge which is beneficial, Ya Allah. Allah, make us a means of hidayat for others, Ya Allah. Allahumma ja'alna hadina muhtadin, ghayra dalin wala mudillin. Allah, bless us with the noble and the beautiful akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Grant us the ability to fulfill the rights of all those who have rights upon us, Ya Allah. O Allah, purify our hearts, Ya Allah. Ame Musaffa, Mujalla, Muzakka, Dil'ata, Farma. Ya Allah, all those who are sick and ailing, grant them shifa, Ya Allah. Those who are going through financial challenges and difficulties, make it easy for them, Ya Allah. Those who have debts, Ya Allah, make it easy for them, Ya Allah, to pay all their debts, Ya Allah. Those, Ya Allah, who are looking for marriage partners, bless them with pious, compatible marriage partners. Those who are married, Ya Allah, make their marriages, Ya Allah, Jannat on earth, Ya Allah. Allah, make our children the coolness of our eyes, Ya Allah. Protect them the fitness of the time, Ya Allah. Make them assets for us and assets for deen, Ya Allah. O Allah, make our sustenance easy for us, Ya Allah. Allahumma kfina bihalalika an haramika wa aghnina bifadlika amman siwak. O Allah, restore the condition in this country, especially in this municipality, Ya Allah. From instability to stability, Ya Allah. From corruption, Ya Allah, to loyalty, Ya Allah. To fulfillment of the rights of people, Ya Allah. Allah, grant us leaders and rulers and counselors, Ya Allah, who will be loyal, Ya Allah, who will be trustworthy, Ya Allah, who will be honest, Ya Allah. Allah, change the condition from this country from insecurity to security, Ya Allah. Allah, unite the hearts of the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Blow the winds of hidayat in this country and in this continent and throughout the world, Ya Allah. O Allah, unite the hearts of the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma inna nasaluka min kulli khayr ma sa'alaka minhu nabiyuka wa habibuka sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa na'udhu bika min kulli shar ma sta'ada minhu nabiyuka wa habibuka sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa antal musta'an wa alayka albalagh wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al mursaleen wa alhamdulillahi.